Good morning, church. How you doing this morning? This morning, Lynn Downing walked by me, and I thought he said, this is too good, don't mess it up, speaking of the service. But he actually didn't say that. He said, this is too good, don't start yet. So, yeah, okay. I just have a couple of real quick things that I'd like to inform you guys about. The Outreach Sunday, I pray that you guys have done that. If not, it's not too late, actually, right? So out there in the foyer at the guest center, you'll notice that there's like these little cards that on the back, it talks about that we'd love to connect with you. It gives our service times and information about our church. It even has the Christmas breakfast that we have on December 21st and also our Christmas Eve service. But really what the outreach was all about was it's about us being filled with the Holy Spirit and being on mission for Jesus in the little moments of life. So that means if we're at the grocery store, if we're at a Starbucks, if we're out to eat, being sensitive to what the Lord is doing in the mundane things of life, and they become actually the supernatural things in life, because you now become someone that is full of the Holy Spirit, ready to be used by God every moment of the day. And that is the church on mission. And that's our vision as a church, is that we don't have to necessarily rally around our Sunday mornings. It's a place where we can grow. But our church's mission is to have the mind of Christ, to have the heart of Christ, and to have the mission of Christ every day. If you look at the life of Christ, the majority of his times and the miracles that he performed in front of people and the words that he gave people and the healing that he gave people was as he was going about his day, many times on a journey. Sometimes it's just trying to get a drink at a well. And that's kind of how our life is. And so I pray that you have that vision. So what we did was on the side of this card, it's blank. And what you can do is you can just bless someone in some way. Anyway, you can just buy them a coffee or you can just give them a word of encouragement. But the idea is that your heart is just soft and ask the Lord prayerfully, what is it that you are doing in this person's life? How is it, Lord God, that you can use me? Because he is on mission. He is on mission. And his glory fills his church, his people. And he is on a mission to seek and to save that which is lost. And even those people that we come in contact with, the Holy Spirit is tugging at their hearts in their circumstance. And I just want to challenge you to be a part of what God is doing. Be a part of what God is doing. So grab some of those cards and just invite someone, because it's not just about blessing them and leaving them. It's like, we want to be on this journey with you. We don't want to just have this standoffish relationship. We want to be a family that can meet you where you're at and go on the journey with you. And so it's about inviting people into your life space. And it's messy, it's time consuming, and it takes a whole lot of grace to do that. It's inconvenient. So I just want to challenge you to do that. If you have any testimonies whatsoever from last week, I want to encourage you guys to contact us, contact me, swing by the church this week. I'd love to hear what God has done through this outreach. I've had a couple people that have already shared with me through email or in personal conversation, and I'm just encouraged in the simple things where they can feel God move. And so I want to encourage you, if you weren't here last week, to go ahead and be a part of that and do that any day, actually, any day. Last thing I have to just share with you is that I'm kind of excited about this. There's a really cool guy. His name's Dave Devaney. And Dave, he came back from his trip from Costa Rica, and he just shared with me that, you know, he just feels the Lord is just leading him to help out and to lead the youth ministry here at BCC and to help out. And, you know, we know kind of where we are as a church financially and all that, but he just felt it on his heart that he would like just to help out in that area And so he's just dedicating a ton of time for free to be in the office and to help out and help organize our youth ministry and direct it and lead it. And I'm excited about that because his heart is for this church. His heart is for our youth. And so I'm just letting you guys know that because if you have any questions about the youth ministry, you know, Daniel Siminski will still be working with the youth ministry. I'm going to be involved, and we have a great team of leaders. But Dave just feels compelled to just donate a lot of his time to help cultivate the hearts of our youth and to make that ministry everything that God intends it to be. So I just want to encourage you in that as well. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. I'm done talking. Not yet. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are here. You are here. Church, think about that for a minute. He is here. Father God, your name is Emmanuel. God with us. You dwell in the midst of your people. Father God, this morning I pray that every heart in this room would be soft, tender to your voice. That this morning, Lord God, would be sensitive and we would think about what it means that you've come to meet us. That you have come to be with us. You meet us where we're at, Lord God. You have come to walk with us. You have come to lead us. You have come to heal us. You have come, Lord God, to bring us back to the Father. I thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is the door. Father God, in these next few minutes, Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Touch us this morning, Lord God. May we feel the tangible love of Jesus, the weight of your coming. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the word of your testimony. Amen. So church, Christmas is over. Or not Christmas is over, Thanksgiving is over. It's not over. Yeah, there we go. Christmas. Thank you, Shauna. Thanksgiving is over, and we have 18 days till Christmas. Some of you guys actually hope that Christmas is over. Right? Let's be honest. So right here we are in the holiday madness. This American gauntlet that we've created called Christmas, filled with candy canes, elves, and sleds, presents, and Black Fridays, no coal. And so it's this time of just, I love Christmas. We have it decorated. I really love it because, one, it means that I get to relax a little bit and I get to contemplate on who Christ is. I love to see my children under the tree. I love to watch It's a Wonderful Life. I love the smell of cinnamon. I put cinnamon candles in my office. There's just something awesome about Christmas. It's the only time of the year where my wife makes by scratch an apple pie. There are all these little nuggets that I really like about Christmas that are so fun, so awesome. And it's a time for us to be with family and to celebrate and to rejoice and just to be. And some of us, you know, you look back and you think about what Christmas was like when you were a child and traditions that are formed. Families are brought together and we are reminded of the many blessings that we enjoy and we have the opportunity to reflect on the birth of Christ. And God desires to reach out to us in this season. For some of us, though, Christmas, we can't wait till it's over because we have presents to get with money we don't have. We amass debt. We get into trouble with things. And there is a certain level of pressure for us to provide things that was never intended. So we spend money and we have get-togethers that sometimes bring tension and anxiety because of conflict of personalities. And we also are remembered of loved ones that are no longer with us. And sometimes we can be saddened, depressed. And we wish that Christmas would just hurry up and we can get on with our life. And so you don't have to be that way, though, even if that is you. Our distress, our discouragement, and even sometimes our depression could mean that maybe our focus is not on Him. Our focus sometimes in life, many times in life, is focused on all of these other things that do not matter. Each year we have an opportunity to behold the glory of God, to behold His glory. And if you really think about that, it's quite amazing, the birth of Christ. It's quite amazing. If you're not careful, you're going to miss out what God has to say to you in this season. And so we're doing a 3-week sermon series, and it's called The Incarnation. And today we're talking about Behold His Glory. And so even right now, I'm just challenging us as a church to begin to allow the thought of His incarnation just resonate in your spirit. That this season that you would reflect of what it means for God to come and meet with us, to be with us. This is a time when our hearts and our minds should be on the significance of His coming. So I want to spend a few minutes this morning in John chapter 1, if you have your Bible, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. So I believe that God's invitation for us as a church and as individuals is to behold His glory. To think about the glory of God. And we're going to find that glory in Christ's incarnation. And how we're going to respond as the Spirit speaks to us and leads us as individuals. As you behold the glory of God, yes, in the checkout lines with all of the chaos, and behold the glory of God as you're with family and you're kind of stressful and beholding the glory of God even in times of loss, the reality is that Jesus came. That He came. Despite our circumstances, our situations, despite if we're a Scrooge bah humbugging or if we are just someone who loves the Christmas tree and the presents underneath, nothing should actually keep us from beholding His glory and thinking about Christ. He desires to meet with each of us as He shows off His glory. He demonstrated at the time of Christ's birth, the incarnation. So I want to read John chapter 1, verse 1. And I love John's gospel. I just love John's gospel. The incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but He came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came into His own, and to those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, To him he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who are being born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God, man. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The coming of Jesus is why we celebrate Christmas. It's a birth. It's a child born in lowly conditions. The Savior of humanity, Emmanuel, God with us. Birth is an amazing thing. Birth is an amazing thing. I've had three children, and I was at all three of their births. Completely amazing. Completely amazing thing that happens with birth in general. It's like this life form is birth. It's a human. It's a soul. It's a person. What an amazing thing that happens in birth. The same thing that happened with Christ. He was born. So there was a comedian, and I don't know. I just was thinking about this morning if I was going to share this, but the comedian, he shared something about birth and some truths about birth. And the one thing he said was, he had multiple children, he said, the funny thing about birth is it's an amazing thing. It's a process that's completely unbelievable. It's a mystery, is birth, this process. And he said he has several kids, and, you know, he was at every single one of their births. And he said, if you really think about it, like, a woman can hold a life form in their body, and they could sustain that life form with their body, and they can actually deliver that life form through their body, and then they can actually feed that life form with their body, is what this comedian said. And then he reflected on the male contribution of life, and he described it in these words as pathetic. Right? But birth is an amazing thing. It really is an amazing thing. And so we are talking about the birth of the Son of God. And we're talking about his incarnation. The word incarnation, it comes from this Latin. It's a Latin word, and it means to make into flesh or to be made flesh. The incarnation is a central Christian doctrine. Without it, we simply would not be Christian. We would be some sort of Reformed Judaism. Without this fact that God came down from heaven and he was incarnate, he dwelt in us, fully God, fully man, in the person of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. There is no other religion in the world where God comes down and he meets you where you're at. None. And it's a mystery to understand this idea of incarnation. It is a mystery. It's a mystery that apologetics and people that argue about Christianity, they struggle with it. Muslims, they struggle with this idea of three gods. It's not three gods. It's one. It's a trinity. Judaism, they struggle with this idea of Jesus Christ is God in flesh. Fully God, fully man. I want you guys to imagine this. I want you to imagine this. Here's the Godhead. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nothing exists but him. There is no time. There is no place. It's just him. And in the beginning was the Word. And it spoke out in Genesis, let there be light. and there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. It's a mystery that we cannot comprehend. Jesus, the Word of God, He speaks all creation into existence. He was there at the beginning. He was the Word of God. God's Word is another way of speaking of God's self-revelation to humanity. This Word reveals Himself to me. His Word is another way of speaking about God's self-revelation to you and to me. And it's acted upon. And it's His communication with humanity. He says, let there be light, and there was light. He divided the light, and he divided the light in the darkness, and then there was one day. And then in 5 days afterward, He speaks the earth and everything in it into being within 5 days. He creates everything with His Word through Christ. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, that by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether the thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him, speaking of Jesus. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. The glory of God in His creation. It's amazing that God shows off with His creation that was created by Jesus, the Word, the incarnate. All creation joined together with this wonderful chorus singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The heavens and the earth declare Your glory. But then came the fall, right? We all know about the fall. Humanity was determined to be their own God, the Lord of their own life. And of course, we have this fall. From that day, creation would no longer sing in harmony. Romans 8:22, verse 23, it says this, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together unto now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Waiting eagerly the redemption of our body. And here we are, fighting between our flesh and the Spirit of the living God. Waiting eagerly. Groaning and waiting for His coming. I've spoken to so many Christians who believe that there is a God that believes in Jesus, but so desperately want to feel His Spirit active in their life. So desperately want to know His plan, to hear His voice, to have a touch from heaven. And they struggle with the flesh, with the Spirit. So from that day, though, of the fall, the world is trapped in this darkness. It's in this darkness. But the beautiful thing that John says in verses 4 through 5, he says, in Him was life. So He's coming here with life, which is interesting because He is the creator of life. Everything was created through Him, His Word. So He comes here on earth, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend Him. So why? Why did God purpose in Himself to put on flesh and to walk among His creation? Why would He take upon Himself the limitations of humanity? Why did He become fully human? Why would He make Himself so vulnerable? Why? In the past, you know, God, He revealed Himself in many ways. He still does. He reveals Himself through His work, through His His word. He reveals himself through the world, through prophets. He reveals himself in multiple ways. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it tells us that Jesus is the very image of God. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Through him he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made perfection of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Think about this. God reveals himself through his word. And then here comes the word becomes flesh, the incarnation. God himself. It's an amazing thing, the birth of Christ. It's an amazing mystery. Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse 9, that anyone who has seen him has also seen the Father. That's why John could say with all authority that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Before God had revealed his standard of righteousness through the law and commandments, but Christ, that standard was revealed in his person. He's revealing something, self-revelation, through the person of Jesus. My challenge to you this Christmas is to look at, examine his life. Look at his life. He is living out the Word of God. A personal message of how to be like him, to be in him, to be led by him, to be full of him in the Spirit. Matthew 5:17 says this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. In him, he is the Word. His life is the Word. He is the living breath of God. He is God. Why is this? Jesus, he just doesn't teach us about the glory of God when he says, "Behold, the kingdom of heaven is here." He doesn't just teach us that. He doesn't just talk about it. He doesn't even just demonstrate it. Jesus is the glory of God. He came to reveal God and his glory to all of humanity. For us, it's very difficult. For us, sometimes we compartmentalize Jesus and we look at him as some distant figure in the past. Almost like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. But if you were to take away this understanding of incarnation, that God came on earth, we would cease to be Christian. That God meets you and dies for you where you're at. And that he requires and desires for all of humanity to accept him and receive him. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. What a beautiful thing. And it's not a distant salvation where he just dies for all of humanity. It's very specific. You are special to him. He knows you by name. He knows the things that concern you, as we said before. It's this all-knowing, all-powerful God that made himself nothing for you to meet you where you were at. When we consider the glories of heaven and the dwelling place of God, we are filled with hope. I love to read Revelation because it gives me these images of what heaven's going to be like, right? So I get excited. I get excited about it. Revelation 21, verse 4, it says this, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." I can't wait till these things pass away. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. Then he showed me a river, and I love this image of heaven. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on the other side, the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God of the Lamb will be in it. And his bondservants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no longer any night, and they will not have need for the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. And so I see these images of heaven, and then I have to ask myself, he left all of that for us to come here. To come here. We cannot even begin to fathom these unspeakable glories, the weight of being in the presence of God. That's why it says that every knee shall bow. Oh, every knee will bow. You'll have no other option. The weight of his love, the weight of his grace, the weight of his majesty, his glory, you will not be able to stand in his presence. The desires of your heart complete in his presence. The things that trouble you or bother you or concern you, completely gone. And the only thing that could be on your lips would be, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb." Being fully God, he emptied himself and he made himself nothing and took upon himself the form of a common slave and was made in the likeness of men. That is love. That is love. That he puts on flesh to meet you where you're at. So we have this creator and he's sleeping in a manger of hay, right? The God of all glory, he shared a bed with goats. The Word was made flesh, and that's the incarnation. To save sinners like you and I, can you see how glorious that is? When he sees from heaven the image that is marred by sin, the darkness that overcomes this earth, and he comes and he is the only answer to the problem. And he comes in flesh to meet you. And he is lowly. But then in that, there is a victory. Because he's on a mission to seek and to save the image that is lost in you. To bring you to his wonderful light. Very specific. He knows you by name. There is no greater love. John 3:16. For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know that. What kind of love did God have to possess to send his only begotten Son into this world, knowing that the world would reject him? He knew that they would reject him. It said that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Even today, the world rejects him. He knows this. Scripture doesn't ignore this fact. He is rejected so you can be accepted. What kind of love would it cause a great shepherd to be born in a manger, announced by shepherds, and to save one lost sheep? This love that Christ has for you is amazing. We should reflect on it this season. It's the kind of love that only God in heaven could have. It's a perfect love. It's a sacrificial love. He demonstrated that love by being born in flesh and walking a mile in your shoes. To know the pain that you know. To feel the temptations that you feel. to be confronted with the sins that so easily entangle us, and to live victoriously over them. To extend himself further, he lived a sinless life, but he took on your sins, and he brought them to the grave. He defeated death to give all who believe in him life to its fullest, to give you a revelation of his light, to know him, to come to the Father, to feel the weight of his love and his mercy, to feel the desires of your heart and to know it. What is great love? It is so great that John said in verse 10 that in spite of being in the world, the very world that Jesus created, the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And why does that make his love so great? Because he came as the incarnate Christ anyway. He knew that the world would reject him, and he still came. So we would have an opportunity that our neighbors and our friends and the world that you know, the people that you interact every day, would have an opportunity to accept him. Why, church, are we so nervous or so fearful about the world rejecting us? We are the body of Christ and he is the head. But he died for those people. He died for these people. He died for this person. Don't be fearful. So the first question I have for you today is, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you understand that God came from on high to meet you where you're at? And to this day, he is still meeting people. To this day, he is still meeting people. He is still seeking and saving that which is lost. It's my prayer that every person in this room will know him personally as this personal Savior, not just a moral teacher. In our society, we've reduced Jesus from the living Word of God, the only way of salvation, we've reduced him to a moral teacher. And frankly, in the church sometimes, we feel like a life that honors Christ is optional. And we fail at times to submit to him in our marriages, to submit to him in our workplaces, to submit to him in our hearts. This desire and passion to really know this man that came to meet us where we're at. To even pray. You don't even have to go anywhere. He's already here. He's already made the journey to meet you. He's already made the commute to meet up with you. This Christmas, I challenge you to meditate on his coming for you specifically. Meditate on that. His incarnation. Jesus, he came for the redemption of humanity. Not only that, but for you. Thank him for his grace and his truth in your life. Verse 14, it talks about his grace and his truth that he brings to you. Grace, forgiveness. So many times in life we live without, you know, sometimes for some of us it's grace is easily given. For others, not so much. It goes either way. It depends on who you are. Sometimes we are grace givers to ourselves, but man, none for you. And sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes we give so much grace to you, and then for me, I'm living in shame. But you know, Jesus, he came to give us all grace. Even for you, grace is given. Even for you, his death, his resurrection, his life is powerful enough to deal with anything that you that might hold you in shame or hold you back from receiving freedom in him. His grace is sufficient. And his truth, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He came here to bring the truth of God, to live it out, to live out grace. He was the living word. He lived out grace. He lived out truth. So we could look at that. So the disciples in the first century church, they could see that, and they could see God. They could see him in his full glory. It's interesting how Jesus is like this in Christendom. I mean, he is the center point. He is the focal point. And of all the living religions, he is amazing. It's 2,000 years, and he never wrote one word about himself. It's because he came and he lived it out. His life was redemption. His life was freedom. And whoever believed in that physical life and that death will have eternal life. We're not talking about the Easter Bunny or Saint Nick. We are talking about a living Savior that came for you and for me. It's the glory of God manifested. Manifested. Yes, the heavens and the earth, they declare his glory, but he came. He came, and in his glory, in his saving work on the cross, he frees the captive. He frees us. He gives us light, and that's a glorious thing because we were trapped in darkness, unable to see. God's invitation to us this Christmas is to behold his glory. Behold his glory, church. Think about your own personal life and behold his glory. Think about that. Think about the things that do hold you back. That's okay. He knows those things. What are the things in your life that you haven't given to him? What is the shame that you have in your life? What are the grudges that you hold? What is the bitterness that you have? Behold the glory of God because he came to release you from all of that. Behold his glory. Respond to it. What is the Spirit saying to you this Christmas? It's just not about presents and family. It's about him coming for you. To transform you. To live out a life in front of you. So you can see the Word. So you can follow him to the Father. So you can be renewed and transformed into his likeness. The incarnation. And as you sit with your family and whatever it is, the theme in your house is, if you're traveling, whatever it is, my challenge is that you would think about the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us, for you. For you. I want to read this poem real fast. It's a poem in the late 1800s by Miss Frank A. Breck. And it's called A Christmas Thought. And it says this: Christ was born in a stable, a birthplace of humblest degree, so that no one could say, I am poorer, more lacking in comforts than he. His mother in swaddling bands wrapped him, the wardrobe of one, the divine, that no one could say of his raiment, Christ's garments were better than mine. His home and his comforts were borrowed, no pillow for resting his head, but he lived and he suffered and he sorrowed to give us true comforts instead. In glory, his wealth had been boundless, and he laid all those riches aside that we may have riches eternal and with him forever abide. So, church, I just challenge you that this Christmas that we would reflect and meditate on the coming of Jesus Christ, God. He left this wonderful place, beautiful place, and he put on this flesh to meet you where you're at. It's a miracle. It's a mystery. But he did all of this for you. Not for what you bring to the table. Not for what you know about him. not for what you do, for what you say, but for who you are. He has come to redeem you. The depths of who you are as a person, the image that lays within you. He wants that light to shine bright. He desires to light a flame in your life, to know him fully. And that's what Christmas is about. Full, complete redemption. Not just a victory here or a victory there, but to the core of your being. And he will transform you from the inside out in a marvelous way. Because you know he's building a masterpiece with your life. So I just pray that you reflect this Christmas on him, his coming. And I'm excited over the next 2 weeks as we talk about the incarnation. We're going to be talking about incarnate living. We're going to be talking about Emmanuel. And of course we have our Christmas service. Let's pray. We're going to go into a time of communion, in a time of offering. We're going to offer up our first fruits to the Lord this morning. And you don't have to be a member of BCC to partake in communion, but we ask that you know him, that this saving grace that he has offered to you, that you've received that. And this is the time also for offering, but let me pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in this room. I thank you that you've come, the Word incarnate, that you became flesh to reveal yourself, to give us a self-revelation of who you are, God. You reveal your grace through the life of Christ. You reveal your truth through him, Lord God, your sacrificial life. You teach us, Lord God, what it means to be a church, what it means to be a follower, Lord God, of you, a lover of you. Father God, I just pray that as we reflect this Christmas season, Lord God, of all the different things, Lord, that we can reflect on, I pray that central to that, it will be the coming of God to seek and to save me, to save this body. I thank you that you know all things, that you are all powerful. And Lord God, you are a great mystery to us. But you reveal yourself, Lord God, through Jesus Christ, God in flesh. You reveal your love and your compassion for us. You reveal your heart and your correction for us. You reveal your way. You are the giver, Lord God, the giver of life, the restorer of the broken, the hope, Lord God, of humanity, the purpose of the Father. I thank you that all things were created through you. And Father God, I just pray that today, Lord, that you would do a new miracle. You would give us a new birth or fan the flame in our life. That we would still, Lord God, return to our first love, that we would fan the flame. That we would feel you. That we would feel your life. You'd renew a passion for your word, for your presence, for your mission, that you would build your church according to the head, Jesus. Revive us. Revive us, Lord God, as individuals. Let us not go from season to season. But Lord God, let us be on mission with you. Let us live in your presence. Walk with us, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you for our life, Jesus.